What are really big things? And I'm going to put all the minutiae down, every little, dump it all down without much thought, and then just break it down, and then start with the top three, and then create a system and then act on it, do it. And then by doing it is how you start perfecting processes. And one thing is just don't lose that momentum. If you hit your goals, you set your goals, but then you got to break those goals down to what your monthly, weekly, and then daily habits have to be. And you have to put it in writing, in my opinion. And you can write it down physically or at least put it on something digital, but you got to look at it, in my opinion, every single day. And it sounds exhausting, but it keeps you focused. It starts creating this hyper-focus.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. And with me today is my awesome co-host, Tammy B.
Hello, Ken and everyone.
You're disappearing for next week's episode, aren't you?
I am. So rude of me.
You got to live a life and do things, right? Hopefully have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's with friends and family. Are you staying in Oregon or are you going to go roam around?
I'm going to go roam around to Texas.
Awesome. So what do you do when you get on the airplane? Do you have separation or are they packing you in? Because you're just recently out there. Are they packing you in like a sardine?
Yeah, just like normal. We're right next to everybody. The plane was full. So I experienced that in November for Thanksgiving. I also experienced it last, I don't know, May, June. Yeah, same thing.
You had to fly out. I think we might have talked about on one of our episodes, or maybe I did it not. I can't remember what I have recorded and share with everyone and what I haven't recorded and share with everyone. But I had to fly out doing due diligence in mid-November last. I don't like airplanes because I get sick all the damn time. Although February I didn't this year, but that was my last time going. I'm like, dude, I'm back from Arizona, meeting this nonprofit and seeing how they help people on the retirement side. And it's like, and all this COVID stuff's coming. I didn't know anything about it. No one did. Apparently, obviously, our governments didn't know anything about it, or they know a lot about it and just won't tell us. Who knows? Because it's still here. And I just so hate it. I cannot tell. It's a resonating theme with everyone. No one wants to talk about or deal with the COVID thing anymore.
Yeah.
And boy, have our politicians used this as a machine to do a whole bunch of other things, which is crazy. But anyway, that'll be another episode one of these days. I've been told 6 feet separation, wear a mask, do all this stuff. You don't want to be in tight quarters. I have to fly out to Dallas, Texas, doing due diligence on oil and natural gas. And I better shut down my email before I get pulled in all these directions while we're doing our show. it's like the problem of having three monitors. You just better shut them all down. I'm not very good at multitasking. I don't think any human is, but anyway, switch tasking. So now I'm going to switch back to my stupid airplane story and then we'll talk about fun things. I get on that airplane and sure enough, we're all packed in. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
We're told to mask. Hey, don't use masks, like wear the mask, but keep in mind, they really don't do much anything. So don't, that's a false sense of security.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute, I've been told 6 feet forever this year and all of a sudden I have everyone right next to me, behind me, sideways. I didn't realize that all the freaking rules of COVID didn't operate in the airplane, right?
It's pretty amazing.
I was like, how does that work, right, man? I was like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know politicians and all these leaders are so powerful that COVID ceases to exist in the airplane. So everyone will be packed in. But then when you go to a bar or restaurant, it's all back in action again. Like you got to stay 100 feet away from everyone,
right,
and don't look. They'll get you.
Yeah.
I was teasing. I'm looking at getting a new cell phone because I swear to God, I really like my smartphones. They're awesome. And I remember it was like 20 years ago. It was a while ago, but it was before smartphones really came out. I was telling my dad, wouldn't it be great if I could have my calendar, cell phone, notes, everything all on the cell phone. And my dad was teasing me. Well, I found a notebook, works just great. put my notes in and I have a calendar. It works just great. You know, like the Franklin planner, those big black calendars, which I had one because I thought it was so cool. I put all my notes in.
Yeah.
Like I hated carting that thing around everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hated it. And so he's just making fun of me, thinking I was being silly. And then sure enough, I mean, everyone has a smartphone. But anyway, I'm on the phone yesterday, or it was virtual. I'm on the phone, but I see him over the screen and he jumps on. He's got a mask on. I'm all, I don't think you're going to get COVID through the screen. But he didn't enjoy my humor. He didn't find it funny. And then I said, "Hey, I'm just joking. I assume you have a whole bunch of employees around you." And he says, "Yeah." So, but anyway, I thought it was funny. He didn't find it funny. And of course, I can't hear what he's saying through the mask. So I'm asking him to repeat himself over and over again. And then I said, "Okay, well, just follow up. Send me the quotes on this and this. I'll make a decision." Still hasn't arrived in my email. So what's really fascinating with the communications company is that they are so poor at communicating, all of them. I mean, I'm calling one carrier and they have me, which I'm an existing client with, and they have me on hold twice for over 20 minutes. I don't have time for this. So I hang up. This is to sell me an overpriced phone.
Right.
I call another carrier that says they're so great. And sure enough, and this is on the business side. So they get to squeeze you for even more money. Mm. And the businesses quite often will subsidize the personal accounts a little bit with the different surcharges and things you're hit with. And sure enough, twice now, this time, at least 20 minutes each time. And I hang up. I'm like, this is crazy. So anyway. So then the third company yesterday, hats off to them. I'll just plug them, AT&T. They actually answered the phone within 10 minutes. It was amazing.
Nice.
And then I got a guy who didn't enjoy my humor, but that's okay. he knew what he was doing and was proficient answering my questions. So I appreciate it. And now getting back to what I want to talk about for this episode, I'm all over the place. We're doing this show early in the morning for us. And this is my brain in the morning. It drives my wife nuts. I pop out of bed 99. If I don't get out of bed excited, it's going to be a bad day. And so I'm like, you know, so I'm like 99 out of 100 times, I'm just super excited, ready to go. And my family is pretty much knows now. And I say the majority of my clients know, don't bug me after 7 p.m. because I'm an entirely different animal. I just shut down. I don't want to talk to anyone. It's not like I'm mean, but I can become mean. Just leave me alone, right? I want to go to sleep in a few hours. Episode, I just wanted to talk about, I mean, it's almost Christmas. So happy, you know, Merry Christmas, Tammy.
Thank you. You too.
And Merry Christmas to all the listeners of the show. Boy, was this a weird year. Very long and very short at the same time. But I thought it'd be great to have an episode just talking about, this is a great time to reflect on health and wealth. It's a great time.
Absolutely.
I learned that term from a mentor a few years ago. I love using it. I'm sure we did an episode a year ago talking about health and wealth. But I just think it's so simple and it's so true. And I'm not into the whole New Year resolution thing. It's just interesting that it all kind of comes on the same time frame. It's cold. You're not doing too much, depending where you live, outdoors as much, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a great time to, the days are shorter. I mean, at least the sunlight's shorter. And so it's just a great time to reflect on things. And coincidentally, I mean, my fiscal year for my company and most people when it comes to taxes at the end of the year. And it's amazing how we're so influenced by the IRS to think that way, right?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the year, they're going to look at our taxes. So we better, December is typically, interesting enough, one of the busiest times of year for my company. Because we're moving things fast on a tax strategy standpoint, because we only have a couple more weeks left,
right,
to get things in play, which will end 12/31. So, but I do think besides that scramble, it's a great time to reflect on health and wealth. And I've been, boy, has YouTube consumed me recently, because I'm focused on a few things that are very fascinating to me, which I'll talk about next year. And seeing how things are going to come to fruition, just on the financial side. And then on the health side, it's like, hey, it's time. You know, I started off so good when this whole shutdown occurred with COVID, because I couldn't eat out, right? And so I was eating well. And you're probably misdisciplined, so you eat perfect all the time. I live and work for food. And so I've been watching a lot of great stuff on the internet and on YouTube, on the TV. And so sure enough, last night I'm sitting on the couch and sometimes I'll doze off just because I get relaxed. I'm listening. So if there's some doctor talking about fatty liver and how important our liver is. And Maximus is just soaking it all in.
Interesting.
He just soaked it all up.
Hmm.
And then he's going through the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, and one other doctor is talking about, hey, if you want to live a lot longer and feel better, one of the most significant things you can do is reduce your caloric intake. eat less food.
Right.
I'm like, you really have to say that to me? That is like the last thing. You know, this is where our freedoms, and we have so many freedoms still in this country, we can really hang ourselves with our freedom, right?
Good point.
Because the food is so abundant. It's so readily available.
Right.
I mean, what a phenomenal example of like a free enterprise allowing, and I think the word capitalism is used in a way as a cuss word. But when you look at free societies, private people just letting money flow without controls, true, pure capitalism, not this crony socialism we see and this like integration between Wall Street, the government, corporations, but true capitalism, what an incredible example of how readily available food is across the U.S. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so easy. You can get so many calories with a few dollars at McDonald's and Burger King. Although I've noticed it's gotten way more expensive. I haven't gone to McDonald's in a long time. It's like, gosh, man, it's like $6 a year ago. Now it's like 10.
Oh, goodness.
And so, but it's like, gosh, man, look at all these calories. Look at all the, which you can get, but it's very easy. And I work for food. And so I'm watching this thing on YouTube. It's like, hey, you got to, if you want to feel better, you want to live longer, one of the most powerful things you can do is reduce your calorie intake. And like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that truth. It's like, man. And then last night, this doctor's talking on YouTube about, fatty liver and how important liver is for your whole body and just walking through all the things and then providing a solution. It's like, gosh, you know, this guy get to the solution and... because I don't want to hear all these bad things. Like, how do we get in the right path? So he goes to this whole laundry list. I'm like, oh, I could do that. I like asparagus. I like broccoli. Yeah, I can do that. And then the last thing says, keep sugars low. Oh, I'm good at that too. I'm not really into the sugar and candy. And then it said, reduce your alcohol. And then I made the comment, oh, Maximus, that means no more beer. I can't have my beer at night. And so this morning, first thing he said, he's telling mom, he's telling Danielle, dad, no more beer. You're not, daddy can't drink beer anymore. I'm like, go away, Maximus. And then he goes, and
he ratted
says,
you out.
And I can't, and mom, I can't have juice anymore. So he heard the sugar part, which I thought was really interesting at 4.5.
Interesting.
And well, Max, you're okay no having kidding. Juice, buddy. But I thought that was really interesting. So he was going to own up to it too. And so, so I can't have juice, and I guess he can't have too much of his juice. And then Danielle goes, well, what are you going to drink?
You have
water? He's like, no, I don't like water. He doesn't. I crave it when I'm playing tennis or doing sports. It's not natural for me throughout the day to crave water. It's really fascinating. I highly doubt anyone tuned in to listen to my rants on airplanes and COVID, but eventually tied to health and wealth. And so I don't know if you do anything to plan for next year. It just seems like a fun time. I mean, it's a new year. I mean, it's really just another day, but I think it's because of the season change. The IRS, I think, has a big influence for me because of taxation. It kind of in many ways is like a new reset button for me, even though I don't believe in the whole new year resolution thing. It is a great time. You say, hey, how did I excel? I mean, my previous podcast episode was a monologue and it was about diversification. Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing a lot about diversity throughout the whole summer. So I thought it'd be fun to title it, We Need Diversity.
That's awesome.
And everyone turns in and says, yeah, you need diversification in income flows, earned income, passive income, stuff on the stock market, a lot of stuff outside the stock market. And so I enjoyed the episode. But I didn't think someone would appreciate my humor on the title. So it's just this diversification.
I love it.
But then I mentioned a little bit about attitude and gratitude and gratitude and attitude and a little bit about health and wealth. And I thought it'd be nice next 15 minutes, we just talk about health and wealth and kind of your approach. Cause this is more your sweet spot, but is this the time you reflect on health and wealth for you? I mean, you're way into training and you're healthy as can be. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it would be helpful for people. I'm just curious your approach for 2021.
Sure. Yeah. I think New Year's is an opportunity to ask and assess how you're doing, how the performance is in your life, the results, how you're feeling. And if it's not where you want it to be, it's a great opportunity, a great reminder with the whole New Year's resolution thing to next level your game. And I personally I kind of go, I'm on the other spectrum, Ken, where I probably do that a little too much, too often. And I don't, you and I've talked about this, I don't do as well recognizing and being grateful for where I've come from. I'm like pretty hard on myself about constantly improving.
You're hard on yourself? I don't think you've ever admitted that.
I am.
On this podcast.
Dan Sullivan has this, I'm sure you're familiar with it, the term, the gap and the gain, or the phrase, the gap and the gain. And he references it as an entrepreneurial trait, which is always to push, always to be looking for what's next. How can I improve this? And not doing a good job of recognizing where we've come. And that puts a person into the gap where they're negative and pessimistic, even though they've come a long ways, because they're just focused on how far they have yet to go. That is a challenge for me.
The lack of gratitude, I talked about in a previous episode, and I'm sure others over the last few years, the lack of gratitude, it sounds so simple, almost trite, right? At least in my circles, because a lot of friends and clients really recognize how important gratitude is.
Yeah.
And but that might be a foreign idea outside my mastermind of people I work with and look up to. But that's what got me in so much trouble is a lack of gratitude. I mean, I accomplished, if you look at it on paper, I accomplished a lot years ago before I got in this industry. A lot. Right. And very driven. But I was never grateful for it. And so it's just, right. It's just never enough. It's like, you're just happy for 2 hours and you're on to the next thing. And it's like, that's gosh, right. Man. You know, one of my favorite books, and I need to, it kills me. I never finished the last 20 pages. And every time I don't know what it is, and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Mm. I want to finish.
Yeah.
I got to start that book again. Everything I've been reading for the last decade has been all about money and financial principles. Mm-hmm. It's all been work related. I mean, that I've been studying. Now, that and engineering, that's also, but it is all like deep dive, like. So between those pieces and the engineering space, mm-hmm. and the financial instruments, that's all I read and watch on YouTube, essentially, except a little bit of the health stuff. Right? I mean, but everything is very improvement focused. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have read a book for fun. Mm. It's been years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is, because I still love watching movies. You know, those are fun. Right. So, but where I used to love just reading a lot of science fiction, just for entertainment, mm-hmm. having the gratitude for what was accomplished. And right. we've talked about some previous episode, and I think this is really important, is be grateful, not complacent. Mm-hmm. But something I absolutely love to do every Monday, and I might have talked about in the previous episode, because I'm so proud of the efforts I've made working with my son. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of my clients as parents doing with their children, is like Monday morning when I'm taking my son to school. You know, it's about a 10-15 minute drive to school, depending upon the traffic. There's not much traffic, just the stupid traffic lights that you get stuck behind.
Sure.
Stopping you for no other traffic. And Maximus, what are the three top things you're grateful for?
Nice.
Weekend. And a few months ago, it was a struggle for him.
Huh.
He didn't necessarily understood the terms. So I had to walk him through explaining that.
Sure.
But now he just rips it off.
Oh, I love He's that. All,
seeing my sister. So his sister came to see him and play with him.
Yeah.
So he was grateful for seeing his sister. And then number two, he was grateful. He loves helping me on projects at home. And I love it too. And so he was grateful for helping me fix the hot tub.
Nice.
And getting to go in the hot tub.
Nice.
And of course, he's like, Dad, we got to go in it again tonight. And I'm like, Max, we'll just go in it. You can't go in every night. We'll go in a few days. And he's like, yeah, but then it'll be broken again, because 2 weekends ago we fixed it, and then some other new piece broke. It's beyond me, but that's just the way it works. I'm all, buddy, it'll last this time. I'm pretty confident. And but he's been really good. You know, one, two, three, and so it's just that gratitude, I think, is such an incredible skill. And thanks for Dan Sullivan bringing it to my attention through what he writes, because I think it's something that really should be taught in schools. Mm-hmm. I think it's something to be taught in families. And again, it's not permission to be complacent, but it's to appreciate the journey.
That's
and I
right.
think that ties what I was mentioning about the art of Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance, where he talks about this. It's been a long time since I read it, but where he and his son are hiking up the mountain, and the son just wants to get to the top as soon as possible, where the father's like, hey, you got to appreciate the journey. And it sounds so simple, but to me at the time, I was like, wow, that's so profound, because I was always so focused on getting to the top.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, so that's interesting. I didn't know you struggled with that, Tammy, but yeah, you got to have gratitude and you got to see where you came from. And I think the one of the best ways to predict and see the future, although you'll see all this in prospectuses saying that historical performance doesn't dictate the future. Yes, that's true. But if you understand and study history in many ways, especially through the eyes of money, it can really give you a good idea of what's coming down the pipe 10, 20, 30 years out, watching how the central banking system is behaving, watching how the banks are behaving, watching how our governments federally and locally are behaving and our politicians. And because, you know, this has happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. So in many ways, by understanding history, it gives you a good idea of what's going forward. And then just understanding where you started from and then looking where you are presently can really help see areas that you can keep tuning and improving. And that ties to being grateful for what's to come. And I think this is a great time on the health and wealth piece. I know what I have to do with health. And it's one thing to just be a bookworm, read all these things, study, and just, you know, pontificate on things all day long. But you have to take action. You got to find something that's going to inspire you to physically get off your butt and go do something, or open up a book, or work on budgeting, work on whatever that you know. It's like, I know for me to feel a lot better, and I fine health-wise, but if I really want to take it to the next level for 2021, I know there's a couple big things I need to do. And I have to do it through my actions. And I know my wife will be watching me and my son, not by what I say I'm going to do. Don't tell me, show me. And I think that's, so it's great. I think it's really important. Right. What really works for me is that, and we've had an episode on smorgasbord. It's so hard for me to say.
Yeah.
Using artificial intelligence to create all the transcripts for my episodes. Apparently I am so poor at speaking. It doesn't know what the hell I'm saying about every other word. I'm like, how the hell am I going to, do I really speak with such a lazy tongue that AI can't figure out what the hell I'm saying?
No.
But then I try to say smorgasbord and I blow it. So I can't wait to see what the transcript looks like for this next week. I'm as transparent as I possibly can be on what I'm doing. If I was any more transparent, not that I do anything illegal, I don't, but there's just only so much you can say because I'm in such a regulated industry. I can't go out and say, do this and buy this security and buy that. You know, it's just, I can't, but I can go over overall ideas and overall concepts and macro strategies that you can break down into minutia. And one of the things I do for the health and wealth piece is that I literally, often I find it more powerful for some reason that, especially when I'm alone away from technology, I will write it all down. And I have my engineering paper and I'm playing with it now. It just helps me think and without any form of judging, just whatever's in my brain. I don't put much logic behind it, but just all the stuff that's going on in my brain. And then I'll put it into a spreadsheet and then I'll do a T-chart. Mm-hmm. What are the most three top things I want to tackle? It's this simple for when I start my day in the morning. There's an incredible amount I have to get done. There's no possible way it's all going to get done in a day. I'm going to take the top three things that I think are very reasonable I'm going to get done. And it's amazing. Sometimes I can only get two of the three done before I even create the next big three things. But if you go show yourself, so you create this huge laundry list, what you want to do. But then, and have that on the back burner and then take top three things. So like the health piece, I'll share this piece. Top three things, I need to have some systems in place. If the food is in front of me, I am going to eat all of it. So what are some good psychological techniques? I can't remember what book I read years ago, but I thought this was great. You can trick yourself. And it's amazing how our brains, humans are very adaptable creatures. We adapt very well. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so one way to make your food look like you're getting way more sustenance and just, you know, I always call it my gluttony, right? Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for being a glutton, you know, a gluttonous pig, and I can eat as much as possible. And I always pay the price. I feel miserable, but sure enough, I haven't figured that one out completely. And so some fun techniques, what do you do? Like, well, I know if I just put my food on a smaller plate,
right,
even though I know what I'm doing, the food looks bigger.
Right.
You want to eat less ice cream, put in a smaller bowl.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Isn't that crazy? So on the food things, what I need to do, I know I need to reduce my caloric intake. I also know I need to train some more anaerobically, anaerobically. All right. And so what are the best, sometimes figuring out the worst times to go do something, like what doesn't work for you? It's like, hey, am I going to work out at night? No way. Am I going to do it in the middle of the day? Yeah, that's great. That would be ideal for me. But I love helping and serving people. And then and typically that just doesn't work in my industry for me. And I don't like switching gears. Once I go train, I don't want to go back feeling all sweaty and hot for the next few hours. Even if I took a shower, it's just the metabolism's going. And so, although it can be a struggle, it's like in the mornings, the way I have to crank it out. But the big thing is like, hey, I'm going to have a plan and I need a recipe. Mm-hmm. You just tell me what to go do. I'll go do it. And it's there, it's in writing and you just do it. You grind through it and then play tricks. I mean, it's like, hey, if 45 minutes sounds like way too long of a workout, that sounds like 10 minutes to my wife. She just loves all the cycling and hiking for hours and hours. It's like, gosh, man, I mean, 45 minutes sounds like an incredibly long workout to me. So what kind of tricks can you play? All right, well, if 45 is too long, is 30 too long? Well, 30 is too long. Is 15 minutes too long? I mean, how the hell can you excuse yourself out of a 15-minute workout? That's pathetic for me. And it's like, so you just, whatever helps you move forward. And so the top things, I'm going to have to reduce caloric intake. How am I going to do that? Well, another way it's a great trick for me is that, hey, you would have to eat like a huge trash bag, like a huge black hefty trash bag of broccoli. This is a volumetric displacement, right? I mean, your stomach, I mean, is normally should be like the size of your fist, right? You stuff that thing, it's like two fists or so. I actually see how I eat for Thanksgiving, probably four fists. You have to eat a trash bag of broccoli to get not even close to what's in a Snickers candy bar in calorie.
Yes, totally.
Does that make sense? So you just start playing these type of games and just grab a couple things. I mean, I think it was about 8, 9 times flying. But to get in great shape, I did this whole precision nutrition program. I followed John Brody forever. I believe they're out of Canada. And I liked the mindset. I liked the team he had around him and just pushing it. And just by getting a recipe and just adding on to it, creating new habits, 1-2 new habits a week or 2 weeks, and then getting that momentum and then building on it, getting more momentum. You know, all of a sudden it's June after starting a program in January. And it's amazing what has been. You look out 6 months, like there's no way it's not exciting seeing that you can lose half a pound or 1 pound a week. But if you stick to that pattern, that habit, and it's going to go up and down, right? It's not going to be this perfect lineal line of losing weight. Our body seems to grow and behave in networks. You have that kind of momentum. I mean, June happens. It's like, oh my gosh, if you shaved off half a pound over 20 weeks, that's
right.
That's 10 pounds. And if you're a pound, that's 20. That's pretty substantial. And then also you just feel way better. And so that's what I'm doing. I just have a huge spreadsheet of all the crap that needs to be done. And when I say crap, I'm specifically thinking of home improvements on the house. I told my wife a couple weeks ago, it's like, hey, I'm going to be laying out everything that has to be done room by room by room on this property, on this home. And then I'm going to break it down in a spreadsheet. And then I'm going to have you look at it all and then add to it. And then you're going to tell me the top three important things that you want accomplished over this year. And I'm a person of my word. She sees it all the time through my actions. I will get it done. But it has to be in writing. And when I say it has to be physical, like I have to write it, then it has to be physically on the screen or it's got to be, so I see it. It can't just be in my mind. You know, it can't just be in my mind's eye. It's got to be there and just front and center and say, okay, those are the top three. And then you just break it down and you break it down. What do you have to do? Sometimes it sounds crazy. There's a simple task, the project needs to be done, but because I so easily get distracted, I will literally write out, pick up phone. call this number, you know, do this, do that. And then just, and I go one by one by one and hit a check mark. Right. And I physically write off on the top three things I have to do that day. Because you look at the 1400 emails in my inbox and you clear them out and they come right in.
Right.
It's overwhelming. And so that's how I, for me, I'm going to talk and look from a very high altitude. Hey, what are really big things? And I'm going to put all the minutia down, every little, dump it all down without much thought, and then just break it down, break it down, break it down. And then start with the top three and then create a system and then act on it, do it. And then by doing it is how you start perfecting processes. And one thing is just don't lose that momentum. If you hit your goals, you set your goals, but then you got to break those goals down to what your monthly, weekly, and then daily habits have to be. And you have to put it in writing, my opinion. And you can write it down physically or at least put it on something digital, but you got to look at it, in my opinion, every single day. And it sounds exhausting, but it keeps you focused. It starts creating this hyper-focus. And then the joy for me that I get, and I watch it through my clients. I mean, I always give my clients, it's numerous meetings that we have when I bring on a new client. And we address everything 3 to 5 years out. Typically three, but some clients like to think 5 years out plus. And so we'll work with that mentality. But then we break it down, then break it down, and break it down. It's like, what are the strongest things we can hit from this meeting to our next meeting in the next 10 days, 7 to 10 days? And then they get that homework assignment and they go do it. And they come back with their homework assignment done. And then we move on to a new concept and they go do it. And by doing it is how they start perfecting and creating momentum. That applies to health, that applies to wealth. And I don't know, just keep going.
I think it's very helpful. The something that you've mentioned in both the health and the wealth fields is having an accountability partner. Like whether it's Max telling you you can't have beer, and I'm confident he's going to bring that up tonight. It cracks me up.
He will. If I bring out a beer tonight, of course, I'm intelligent enough. I'll come so with creative BS excuse, right? But he'll be on my butt, won't he? And I mean to cut you off, but you're absolutely right. He'll hold me accountable.
Yeah. And so it's a great trick that you're talking about here. And the other example in the wealth field in your life, in anybody's life, is you are a great accountability partner. And you just shared an example, like that's part of your financial journey with someone is to help them stay accountable to their goals and dreams. And so because you help them identify what their goals and dreams are, and then you help them identify the strategy that they're going to do from day to day to day to get there. And then, of course, you're now an accountability partner because they've shared it with you.
It makes a big difference. And I equate, my brother has a gym, one of my brothers in Newport Marina. I'll give him a plug, the Look Fitness. He's nice. Very driven, works very hard. And boy, for him and a lot of people in this industry this year, the health industry, the gym industry, these theaters, entertainers, the restaurants. I hope there's a strong discussion next year. I don't understand how the government, I don't know how they can, I don't want to get into it too much because we only have a few minutes left, but I don't understand how they can deem what's essential and non-essential. Because a lot of these families that need money to go as a medium of exchange to go buy things they need, like food and power and shelter. Probably pretty essential to them. Now, I'm not saying don't do things to create forms of risk mitigation, but it's just painful to see. But anyway, my brother in Newport Marina. So it's one thing to put down the recipe and lay out, hey, it's like, hey, I'm working with you, let the cat out of the bag. And I wish you didn't because you're holding me accountable and I'm still not there yet. It's not so easy writing books, especially when you get pulled in all these directions. But there's a couple I'm hoping to have out now. For next year. And it's one thing to create, I think books are a phenomenal tool to open your mind and learn and is a great resource to turn back to, right? And I think I think there's people out there that you just tell them what to go do. You do it on you create their checklist and they just go do it. It's really an amazing skill set. I think a few people have that skill set to go do it without having someone to be accountable. But the majority of people, for me, I've had mentors around me all my life that hold me accountable and push me in this industry big time because, pick an excuse, right? Any excuse works. And mentors will prevent that from happening. When you have homework assignments or you have a trainer like my brother who's working with you one-on-one, the people that have that kind of accountability, A, to make sure you're doing things right. I mean, when I was competing a lot in tennis, that it was such a joy because I had great mentors that could see things from a different, they're looking at a different prism. You can't see what you're doing out on the tennis court. Right. It's very easy when you're sitting on the sidelines watching people play. It's like, oh yeah, that's their strength. There's their weaknesses. But when you're out there yourself, it's very hard to see. You can get very myopic. But when you have this third party, when you have this mentor, this coach that's holding you accountable, it's amazing how it can accelerate your progress and really help you move forward and move forward rapidly. Just one next step, one next step, one next step. And I think like with the really good personal trainers with their clients on the health space is by having that mentor who is very, very good at what they do, right? They're going to help you make huge progress. But you got to come up with your goals. Absolutely. You got to come up with systems. Then you can have a mentor, in my opinion, for health and wealth. And you also need just to understand the why. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want more money? Why do you want to get healthier? What's the rationale? I mean, health for me is because I want to be around a long time for my wife and daughter and my son.
Right.
And I want to feel better, move better. And that's the important thing for health. And I want my brain to be strong. I don't want it to deteriorate. And so that's a big thing. The wealth piece, the money piece, is not for little things. It's just because that money allows us to do travel, allows us to eat and have shelter. And so and that mindset of abundance, I can tell you a lot more of it's way better than a lot less of it. As long as the money doesn't dictate what you do, but you realize it's just a very powerful tool that enables you to multiply more and more energy to live a more fulfilling life. And that, a lot of it could just be helping others that don't have enough and, right, and helping them through. So a couple of things you want to share and wrap it up, people can do for their health and wealth.
Well, yeah, actually, to reflect back on you a little bit, something that I know that's super important to you is applied knowledge, not just learning it, but applying it. And I think that came out really strong today. The other thing that I loved about your points today is not just applying knowledge the way everyone else around you might be applying it, but figuring out what works for you. You know, as an example, you talk about, do I want to work out at night? No, I don't. And so when do I want to work out? Or helping you move forward on like house projects, you know, by experience that you work best when something's actually written down or in a form that you can see it. And so I love those two points, not just learning, but applying the learning, and not just applying the learning, but applying it in a way that works for you.
It's to the point that I stay hyper-focused. I love having a baseball hat on. And they're like my blinders. And seriously, on the weekends when I'm attacking a house project, I lay it all on a piece of paper and then I fold it and put it in my back pocket. I get one thing done because I just very easily get distracted. I mean, I'm sure when I was a kid, if they knew what attention deficit disorder, whatever it was, they would have me on some drug as a kid, right? But just that simple thing of having a sheet of paper and I just go check and I go, what's next? Before I go, oh, look, rabbit. Oh, look, you know, and get pulled in every other direction. Instead of just completing, it's very important because of that, just to finish the job before we move on.
Right.
So, well, thank you, Tammy B. Thank you, everyone listening to the show. If you want to learn more about me, what I do in the financial industry, please go to my website, engineeroffinance.com. So I'm going to add to my goals to get a very, no more lazy tongue for 2021. I want to be able to read my transcripts. But yeah, if you want to learn more about what I do and my approach to money, savings, investments, go to my website, engineeroffinance.com. And also, if you just, if there's something I haven't addressed and you're craving some more knowledge or just a little nudge, please don't hesitate to schedule a time to talk to me for 15 minutes. I just see someone schedule a time today.
Nice.
Just let me know how I can help in any way, just point you in the right direction, introduce the right person that can help you take the next step. It's the whole reason why I'm in this industry is I get so much joy vicariously through the successes with listeners of the show, the clients I work with, and it just absolutely makes my day.
That's right.
So engineeroffinance.com. Thank you so much, Tammy B. Thank you to everyone listening to the show. And if you enjoy it and you're getting a lot of value, please share with your friends and others that you look up to. And I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, enjoys the new year. And I'll do another show before the end of the year, but still have a Happy New Year as well. And 2021 is almost here. So thank you, and I look forward to next week's episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Greene.